It is Tuesday, August 1st, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, two Venezuelan opposition leaders are seized from their homes.
I think the arrests are outrageous. There's clearly no justification for this action, and very frightening.
How should the United States deal with the North Korean nuclear threat? And music producer Zedd and singer-songwriter Liam Payne join forces for a new single. It's all ahead. Two Venezuelan opposition leaders, Leopoldo López and Antonio Ledezma, who were on house arrest, were seized early Tuesday from their homes by state security forces. The arrests come 2 days after a controversial vote creating a National Assembly to rewrite the Constitution. Their family say the men were taken by agents with the Venezuelan intelligence service, SEBIN. Both families posted videos on Twitter of the men as they were taken, with Ledezma still wearing pajamas. Venezuela's Supreme Court said the two leaders were sent back to jail because official intelligence sources discovered they were planning to flee. The court also said López and Ledezma violated the terms of their house arrest by political campaigning and making statements to the media. The two opposition leaders had each posted videos urging their followers to boycott last Sunday's vote to establish the assembly, which opposition forces said was an effort by President Nicolas Maduro to transform Venezuela into an authoritarian state. I spoke with Michael Shifter, president of the Inter-American Dialogue, a U.S.-based center for analysis on the Western Hemisphere.
I think the arrests are outrageous. There's clearly no justification for this action, and very frightening. They come right after the vote for the Constituent Assembly, which itself is unconstitutional, and signals a move towards a dictatorial regime. And clearly, President Maduro wants to show that he's in control, that he has power, and to send a message to Venezuelans. And I think that the move from house arrest to back to prison of both of these leaders is extremely troubling, but I think is aimed at sending a message to Venezuelans that they shouldn't challenge him and to instill some fear.
What can the U.S. do in this situation to protest these arrests?
Well, I think the U.S. has already was announced personal sanctions against President Maduro. This perhaps could have been in part a response to that of really cracking down even further. I think that there's more room to move on the diplomatic front. There's clearly been a strong reaction from our regional allies in Latin America and from Europeans and others, but I think that can be ratcheted up significantly to isolate Maduro. There is the idea of broader economic sanctions and restricting imports of oil, which of course the Venezuelan economy runs on. That, I think, has to be thought through very carefully because it could also damage and hurt the poorest Venezuelans who are already suffering. So I think it's an active consideration of different moves and options, I think, is important. But I think the U.S. should always be working closely with other allies who are increasingly worried, concerned about the deterioration of Venezuela.
Yeah, I believe that Peru has called for a meeting of foreign ministers in Latin America to discuss this.
Peru has been, the government of Pedro Pablo Kuczynski, the president of Peru, has been extremely vocal and outspoken on the Venezuela issue. And the fact that they're taking the lead on this, I think, is a good sign. And hopefully the other countries and governments of this hemisphere will be supportive and take a firmer stand condemning what's taking place.
Is the opposition in Venezuela divided, or have these two men, López and Ledezma, been able to work together?
Well, they certainly are. They're working together in order to try to end this nightmare that Venezuela is living through. They have been united in the elections that brought to victory the opposition in 2015. They're clearly united in the protests that are taking place throughout the country. There are differences, like there always are in opposition movements, on strategy, and there are personal differences and different emphases. But for now, I think they are united in trying to resolve this crisis and prevent a further deterioration in Venezuela. But as in every opposition movement, there are differences, there are personality differences, and you know, I think that in the longer term, you're going to see different positions that are taken within the opposition, but in a tactical sense, in terms of trying to end this terrible crisis, they are working together.
Michael Shifter, president of the Inter-American Dialogue. Joining me is social media editor Andrew Pelshevsky. So, Andrew, what kind of reaction is this getting on social media?
Wide condemnation across social media over these arrests. We actually started to see this trend after those videos that you mentioned went viral on social media. The two videos reportedly showing Lopez and Ledesma being removed from their homes in the middle of the night by police. One of which was posted, I believe, by Antonio Ledesma's wife, or Leopoldo Lopez's wife. So their spouses even getting involved to try to spread this around and spread awareness. But that condemnation that we're seeing coming from human rights groups and pro-democracy groups like Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch, both have been very active on social media talking about these arrests, but also from citizens around the world, and many of them thousands of miles away from Venezuela, but drawn into this saga because of the social media and because of those videos. So lots of people speaking out and getting involved and learning about this incident because it is spreading online. Also a lot of calls for the United States to step in or at least speak out. There's some speculating that these arrests may be retaliation for U.S. sanctions and Venezuela that were announced yesterday. So people saying the United States needs to do more to address this situation. The other big trending topic is, of course, President Trump. I feel like we should have a segment on the show just called Trump Tweets, because every day President Trump is tweeting, a very prolific Twitter user. And today he is tweeting about social media, one of his favorite communications tools. He says, "Only the fake news media and Trump enemies want me to stop using social media. 110 million people. That's his estimated audience size in his estimation. He says, the only way for me to get the truth out." Questions swirling, not so much about this tweet, because he's articulated this position before that the news media is trying to stop him from using social media, but questions about whether new White House Chief of Staff John Kelly will, in part of his reset, get Trump to stop using Twitter or at least change the way he uses Twitter. A lot of eyes on Twitter and Trump's Twitter account to see if those changes will be coming in the coming days and weeks.
Yeah, a lot of people wondering about that.
Yes.
Thanks a lot, Andrew. That's social media editor Andrew Pelshevsky. Here are some of the top news stories trending. A government watchdog wants the Pentagon to declassify an Afghan child sex report. A new chief executive takes an oath as Pakistan's new prime minister. Vice President Mike Pence assures Eastern Europe of its backing by the U.S. And three defendants are dead after an attempted escape from a Moscow courthouse. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the voanews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
An international team of scientists using a worldwide network of telescopes have been scanning the visible skies to look for very bright supernovae. But recently, while looking for the exploding stars, one of the team members, Jose Prieto, a professor at Diego Portales University in Chile, found something else instead, a new comet. The team followed the comet's trajectory for several days. They noticed that it brightened over an initial 3-day observation period, but dimmed slightly during a second 3-day period. According to the scientists, this sudden increase in brightness may have been due to an ejection of dust and gas by the comet, which temporarily increases the amount of material surrounding a comet's solid nucleus. The team says this newfound comet is now approaching our inner solar system and will continue to do so for several months. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, a Vietnam War veteran is awarded the Medal of Honor. On Monday, U.S. President Donald Trump promised the threat posed with North Korea will be dealt with. On Friday, North Korea tested a ballistic missile it claims can reach all of the United States. I spoke with Harry Kazianis, Director of Defense Studies at the Center for the National Interest, a Washington-based think tank.
Well, I think the first thing we have to do is we have to table the talk of trying to, quote unquote, solve the North Korean issue. There's no easy solutions here. There's no exact military option that would, you know, we could decapitate Kim Jong-un or invade the country. Those things are off the table. All the, quote unquote, solutions are hard things to impose, regime change or you know, going to China and saying to them, China, you solve it, and having them do regime change. So I think the first thing is we have to take that big step back. I think ultimately where this goes, and the Trump administration has basically signaled this, is some sort of unilateral sanctions essentially on the different firms around the world and financial entities that are essentially helping the North Koreans build out their nuclear missile programs. Now, I want to be very clear, that is not going to stop what they've already done. We can't turn back the hands of time. But what we can do is to slow the rate of growth of these programs. So keep in mind this, the North Korean economy is one-third the size of Ethiopia. It is very small. So that means the resources they can put into their nuclear program is small. So if you constrain that and you raise the cost dramatically of what the North Koreans are trying to do, you will have an impact. So how you do that very quickly is basically going to essentially putting sanctions on any firm that is helping them do this or the people that are helping them launder money to do this. And unfortunately, that puts us at loggerheads with China, because China is one of the biggest essentially indirect funders of the North Korean nuclear missile programs. Also, a lot of Chinese state-owned enterprises do what essentially is illegal work with the North Koreans, selling them goods that are basically under sanction, going around sanctions. We even have reports where basically they've given them the trucks that these mobile missiles would go on. So if you start doing some of those things, you will bring the Chinese to the table. And I think we might actually have some good strategies to at least mitigate the problem.
Yeah, because there are a lot of concerns among North Korea's neighbors, and the allies of the United States, Japan and South Korea, are very concerned about this. And when the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un says, well, you know, our missiles are now within range of the United States, that's certainly rather a scary proposition.
It is a very scary proposition, but I feel like we should have seen this coming. And I think it's a symptom of the fact that every administration really, since time in perpetuity, has always taken North Korea and made it the fourth, fifth, or sixth biggest problem. And it's basically not a problem at all, because there's not a lot you're willing to do that. But I've been reading reports about North Korean ICBMs for two decades now. We knew this was coming. Also, keep in mind this fact. The United States tested its first intercontinental ballistic missile in 1957. This technology is six decades old. People know how to do these things. There are many countries around the world that have this capability or could easily field this capability. When we talk about nuclear weapons, the first atomic explosion by the United States was in 1945. These weapons, while we might think of them as advanced because they can kill millions of people and now they could come to our shores, this is not anything new. But we have very little time now to react to this. This isn't a situation where we can just say, oh, the North Koreans are still advancing their program. We have a little bit more time. The time to act is now.
Harry Kazianis, Director of Defense Studies at the Center for the National Interest. Vietnam War veteran Jim McLuhan was awarded the Medal of Honor on Monday for his heroic actions during the Battle of Nui Yon Hill in 1969. McLuhan is the first to be awarded the Medal of Honor by President Donald Trump, and as VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb reports, the war hero is credited with saving 10 soldiers during the three-day battle.
America's highest military honor was earned by Medal of Honor recipient Jim McLuhan about five decades ago, in what U.S. Army medic Jim calls the worst 3 days of his life. It was May 1969, in the middle of the Vietnam War. McLuhan was wounded multiple times, but refused to leave his battle brothers to get medical treatment.
And I looked down and I had blood all over me, and I said, well, I'm not going. You're gonna need me.
McLuhan was one of just 89 men battling against 2,000 Vietnamese enemy fighters.
I don't know how they didn't finish us off, tell you the truth. There were so many of them, they were everywhere.
Joe Mindorf frequently had to cover McLuhan, known simply as Doc to his battlemates, as the medic dashed into the line of fire time and again to carry his wounded comrades back to safety.
Seeing Doc run out there like that was just unbelievable. You know, not many people do that.
Bill Arnold was one of 10 men saved by McLuhan. Thrown from his helicopter, going into shock and unable to move, Arnold looked up and saw the unexpected.
What the hell would anybody be running into the line of fire? You know, it was Doc. He coming after me.
In those final hours, a helicopter sent to save the men was unable to land. They had no food or water and were short on bullets.
When that helicopter pulled out, all hope vanished with it. And it got almost like silent, you know, eerie. And then the word came down. It was whispered, save one for yourself.
McLuhan, who was drafted just 3 months after getting a coaching position, thought of his family a world away and prayed.
Lord, if you get me out of this hell on earth so that I can tell my dad face to face again that I love him and give him a hug, I'll be the best dad, the best coach, and the best teacher than I could ever be.
McLuhan and many of his battlemates did make it out alive that day, and he went on to teach and coach for many years to come. Now, in addition to the titles father, teacher, and coach, McLuhan can add the title American Hero. Carla Babb, VOA News, The Pentagon.
This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, sports fans. This is Sonny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports.
I love Sunny Side of Sports.
Please join us for a whole half hour of sports talk and news Monday through Friday at 1630 and 1830 UTC GMT. On the internet, you can like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and read my blog. Visit voaafrica.com and enjoy the show.
This is International Edition. A Russian-born record producer joins forces with an English singer-songwriter in a new single. VOA's Border Crossings host Larry London joins me with all the details.
It's another music producer who has the spotlight for International Edition. His name is Zed, or at least that's the name he chooses to use while in his profession. His real name is Anton Zaslavsky.
Ah, I can see why he used the name Zed.
If it sounds Russian, it's because it is. He was born in Russia. Didn't spend much time there, just a very, very short amount of time early in his life. His family moved to Germany, where he kind of identifies more as his home now. And so he's on tour right now. It's a tour that's called the Echoes Tour. His latest album, which came out 2 years ago, is called True Colors. And we're going to check out his latest work, which is a song that features a former One Direction member, Liam Payne, and the song is called Get Low.
So how is Zed's latest recording different than ones he's done previously?
Well, they all vary a little bit depending on the artist that he chooses to feature. And he's so creative and so flexible, and he's worked with so many different artists over the years, internationally as well. He produced a hit in Japan for Amuro Namie, who's a very big name in Japan music. But here in the U.S. most recently, he was on the charts for quite a few weeks with a song called Stay that features up-and-comer Alessia Cara from Canada. And he tends to work with artists. He worked with another girl group called Foxes a few years ago and got a Grammy with them for a hit called Clarity. And so most of his music starts off as mainstream pop, and then he does remixed versions. And like, for example, with the song Stay, he released an EP of six different versions of the song Stay. And that's all it had on the EP, six versions of that same song. And so now the new song is with Liam Payne. Liam has been very slow to get started on his solo career since One Direction took a break. Liam also enjoyed becoming a father this past year with his girlfriend, who is also a singer from a band called Girls Aloud. Her name is Cheryl Cole. And there are rumors that Liam and Cheryl have secretly wed. And the baby boy's name is Bear, by the way. That's the name they chose to name, Bear. But so in this particular song, it's Liam and Zed and Get Low, which, you know, it's a danceable song. We don't know what the direction Zed is going to take next, but what he's known for is the very heavy beat type music. You know, when you see Zed in concert, he does nothing but, you know, beat on beat on beat on beat. And it's just him. I had a chance to interview him a couple years ago when he was here in D.C. for a show. And he stands there. He's got his light show all programmed into the computer. And then he just does mixing, beat on beat on beat. And the crowd goes crazy. It's like a rave party, and it's lots of beats and lots of loud EDM music.
I was wondering, maybe Zed and Liam will go on the road.
That's always a possibility. You never know. There was a song that Zed recorded a few years ago with Selena Gomez, and that was done at a time that there were reports the two of them were kind of romantically involved. But that was very short-lived. As I say, he's worked with so many artists, and he may take Liam on the road with him. He's on the road right now for the current Echoes tour. And Liam isn't on that. But there's always a possibility with a new single. Sometimes what they do is they just play the track of that artist. Because if you are like Zed and you record songs with multiple artists, you can't have 10. Well, I guess you could, but it wouldn't be economically feasible to have 10 superstar guests show up for one song. So, you know, he plays the audio track of that particular artist. Because Zed doesn't sing. He mixes the music. So that's what he does. And the new song is called Get Low.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Larry. That's Larry London. He's the host of VOA's Border Crossings. And that's our show for today. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Homemade bombs, known as improvised explosive devices, or IEDs, are used by terrorists not only to attack opposition military forces, but also increasingly to harm civilian populations. As a world leader in clearing explosive hazards that threaten civilians, the United States is taking action to tackle these deadly devices in Iraq, Syria, Colombia, Afghanistan, and elsewhere around the world. According to the Landmine Monitor, an annual report by a non-governmental organization, person-activated IEDs and improvised landmines caused 1,075 casualties in 2014 and 1,331 casualties in 2015. IEDs are a particular threat to both military personnel and civilians as they enter areas previously occupied by terrorists. For example, during the final months of the battle for Mosul, ISIS sowed the city streets with IEDs to prevent civilians from leaving. Later, as they retreated from the city, the terrorists set thousands of IEDs around critical infrastructure like power and water utilities, schools, and hospitals. Non-state armed groups such as ISIS and the Taliban often use IEDs to destabilize peace operations and to terrorize civilian populations in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Syria, writes Stephanie Pico, a public diplomacy officer at the U.S. Department of State. ISIS also has deliberately placed IEDs before retreating from an area with the intent of prolonging insecurity, inflicting additional casualties on communities struggling to recover, and delaying economic redevelopment in liberated communities long after direct ISIS-instigated hostilities in those areas cease. The United States is the world leader in conventional weapons destruction, including humanitarian demining, having invested over $2.8 billion in projects in more than 100 countries since 1993. In addition to humanitarian demining, the United States' counter-IED efforts work to disrupt networks that use IEDs and train the forces fighting those networks to identify IEDs and protect against them. Counter-IED differs from humanitarian demining in that it focuses on deterring, detecting, and preventing IED employment before threats become imminent, writes Stephanie Pico. Working with our allies in the international community, she writes, the United States will continue to develop strategies to address the IED threat to prevent IED users from carrying out their nefarious plans and achieve peace and security.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.